Both states and the U.S. federal government have taken steps to expand opportunities for the use of psychedelic agents. But divergent approaches have produced an environment in which patients, clinicians, and policymakers may face conflicting expectations about access, safety, and clinical responsibility. I'm Stephen Morrissey, managing editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with Marcus Hughes, an assistant professor of psychiatry at the Yale School of Medicine and an attending psychiatrist at Yale New Haven Psychiatric Hospital. Dr. Hughes has written a perspective article about balancing state and federal oversight of psychedelic agents. Dr. Hughes, which states have taken regulatory action related to psychedelic agents, and what types of use do they allow?
There are several different stances that have been taken by a variety of states. I think the most notable are Oregon and Colorado, which were kind of the first and the second state to implement kind of a structured pathway for psychedelics access. Both of those states do not permit what we consider medical use of psychedelics, whereby you see a physician, you get a diagnosis, you get a prescription for treatment. Those pathways exist kind of outside of that traditional medical system, but do permit experiences with psychedelics that are usually considered as therapeutic, even though they exist outside of that model. And that was kind of done to try to increase access to these treatments that some might think are taking quite a while to get regulated in the traditional drug approval pathway that the FDA has stipulated. Other states such as New Jersey, Maryland, Washington, Utah, and many other states, actually most states have had some type of legislation around psychedelics, either by setting up pilot research programs or some type of access way through medical pathways or non-medical pathways.
And then at the federal level, what has the Food and Drug Administration been doing with regard to psychedelics?
Well, it's been difficult. I think the FDA is quite cautious, specifically with psychedelics, for several reasons. But they released a 2023 draft guidance, actually, on stipulating what they would like to see for clinical trialists who are producing evidence to potentially support the approval of a psychedelic drug or a psychedelic treatment, which has been very helpful for the field to kind of streamline the design of quality clinical trials. And so that has been encouraging for many of us in the field and signals to us that, hey, we are open to the federal regulation of a psychedelic treatment as long as you guys do it kind of in the manner that they stipulate. I think many of us were somewhat discouraged by the recent non-approval of MDMA for PTSD. It's a psychedelic agent, or an agent considered a psychedelic by many, that was up for recent FDA approval and was shot down due to a number of concerns that the FDA had. So on one hand, they're saying, hey, we're open, produce some quality evidence and we'll consider it. Many psychedelic drugs have been given breakthrough therapy designation by the FDA, which again signals that they're open to sort of streamlining the drug approval process for some of these agents. But again, many of us were disappointed when they did not approve MDMA, listed several different concerns that they had, and now many of us are going back to the drawing board to try to figure out how to address their concerns for the next agent that might be up for approval.
In April, the White House released an executive order on psychedelic agents. What do you think that signaled about the federal government's approach?
So again, I think one of the wonderful things that a lot of psychedelic researchers have focused on in moving forward psychedelic treatments, particularly MDMA, is focusing on PTSD, which is a really debilitating disorder that affects lots of Americans, lots of people internationally, but with a special focus on our veterans, a population that I think most Americans would say we would like to help. They do so much for us. Let's help them with their mental health condition. So there were a lot of studies done in those populations to try to convince the government that these drugs had therapeutic benefit. The recent federal order, I think, is in line with the government's stance on, again, giving several psychedelic drugs breakthrough therapy designation, saying, hey, we're going to expedite the approval process. If you can provide us quality evidence, we're going to help facilitate that. We're going to give certain companies vouchers to, again, increase access and expedite the research and drug approval process, which is positive. And again, I think it aligns with the 2023 draft guidance that they released. I think one issue with that executive order, though, is that I don't believe they had any stringent requirements for these type of psychological support or psychotherapeutic approaches that are associated with psychedelic treatments, because these treatments are not given in a vacuum. They are given kind of tucked between many, many hours of psychological support and psychotherapy. So I would have liked to see maybe a stronger stance on that. But nevertheless, it seems to, again, signal that the federal government is open to the potential regulation and approval of psychedelic treatment.
Thinking about what you just mentioned, in another perspective article, Zisman, Alani, and Yehuda talk about what they call a growing tendency to conceptualize and implement psychedelic treatments as pharmacologic interventions rather than therapies that depend on relationships. So how have state and federal policies approached this issue of integrating psychedelic agents and psychotherapy?
Well, it's tough, again, because one of the issues that the federal government had with the petition put forward by Lykos, so the company that was researching MDMA or putting forward the package to the FDA, was that there seems to not be a standardized kind of evidence-based psychotherapeutic component. A lot of the trials use kind of a vague psychological support that involves education for patients before dosing sessions, building therapeutic rapport for in preparation for the dosing sessions, giving kind of a standoffish or somewhat involved psychological support in a non-directive way. So you're not necessarily doing an evidence-based psychotherapy during the treatments. And some had varied psychotherapeutic approaches in post-treatment sessions. So most of the trials had these three components: preparation, dosing, and integration, but there's not really a standardized way around that. So again, several of the state models will allow folks to use psychedelics, but in a non-medical way. So again, there are differing standards on what that psychological approach means. Several of the states do require same thing: preparation, support during dosing, and post-treatment integration, but those vary. So some people may be forced to find their own services for integration. Some of the centers might provide these things, but one of the large issues around these state models is that since there is not an FDA-regulated psychedelic treatment, many of those state models require folks to pay for expenses kind of outside of private payer coverage. So lots of folks will need to pay out of pocket for these treatments, which then might exclude people from less resourced populations who have historically been kind of excluded from novel treatment access and utilization.
Finally, you say in your article that a more coordinated approach could help address these inconsistencies between state and federal policies. So what would that kind of coordination look like?
So if the federal government were able to say, hey, given the impending potential approval of several psychedelic drugs, our stance that we're open to the regulation of these drugs if certain stipulations are met, they could release, similar to the draft guidance for clinical research, it could release some type of guidance around what they would expect for the clinical implementation of psychedelic drugs. And what that would do is obviously not set something into place until they approve and regulate a drug, but it could signal to the states and on local levels, hey, when these things roll out, this is what we expect. These are the safety standards that we expect. These are the monitoring standards that we expect, dosing standards that we expect. And those things might create a more uniform landscape that would allow states and the federal government to be more aligned, which could increase safety for patients. And I think that's one of the biggest issues that I see now as a clinician, is that there's a patchwork of options for access for psychedelics, and it could be confusing to counsel patients on safety and efficacy, et cetera. So again, if the federal government could say, these are the things that we see for a federally regulated psychedelic landscape, release that before they approve or regulate a drug, it could allow the states to get in line with that ahead of time. And I think that would be best for everyone involved, clinicians and patients.
Thank you, Dr. Hughes.